Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, today is Monday, December 6th, of course, but tomorrow is Tuesday, December 7th, otherwise known as Colorado Gives Day. It's one of the largest one-day giving movements in the entire country. It's powered by Community First Foundation. Colorado Gives Day makes fundraising simple for nonprofits and easy for donors and people who feel a touch of generosity, especially this holiday season when it's easy to count up our blessings and realize how much we have to be grateful for and think about giving back. Each December, Coloradans come together with the common goal to strengthen our community by forging more connections to our nonprofits and providing the funds to help them power through the upcoming year. So this morning, The Extra is going to preview Colorado Gives Day through a handful of local nonprofits which are participating. So we are pleased to have here on the program Kelly Duncan, President and CEO of the Community First Foundation, which powers Colorado Gives Day, Emily Bowker, Director of Development, Safe Passage, Emma Troller with the Conservation and Recreation Program Manager for the Palmer Land Conservancy, and Lori Jarvis-Steinward, Executive Director of NAMI Colorado Springs. We'll be talking to a couple of those ladies a little bit later on, but first of all, Kelly and Emily, I know you're on the line. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Shannon.
All right. And I don't know if we have Emily, but we'll hope to get her back on.
This is Emily.
Okay.
I'm Emily. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to start with Kelly, if we can. Kelly, what is Colorado Gives Day? Kelly, are you there? Let's see if we can.
I am here.
There we go. Hi there, Kelly. What is Colorado Gives Day?
So Colorado Gives Day is the state's largest giving day of the year. It's a 24-hour online fundraising event that's entirely dedicated to supporting Colorado nonprofits. It's the second largest Gives Day in the country, and last year Coloradans donated $50 million to support our nonprofits.
So who can participate in Colorado Gives Day?
We hope that everyone can participate in Colorado Gives Day. Donations start at $5 and they go all the way up to $10,000, and people can donate through coloradogives.org. And if giving isn't within someone's means right now, you can help by telling others about the day and being a Colorado Gives Day ambassador. You can find all the details on how to do that and how to share that information on the website, coloradogives.org.
So there are nonprofits that participate. How is there incentive for nonprofits to get involved, and do they get some sort of match when they're signed up for this?
Yeah, the big incentive for nonprofits to participate, it is a day all about them, and we create an incentive fund. So Community First Foundation and First Bank, our corporate sponsor, seed the incentive fund with the first $1 million, and then we have 16 other community partners who have also contributed to the incentive fund. It is now the largest incentive fund in the nation at $1.6 million, and it boosts every donation made on Colorado Gives Day. So the example is, if your favorite nonprofit gets 10% of everything that's donated, they're also going to get 10% of that incentive fund.
Okay, so that's something to make them, realize that this is a good deal, something to participate in. I know this initiative started back in 2010, correct? How much has been raised since then?
Since 2010, more than $419 million has been donated to Colorado Gives Day, or has been donated to Colorado nonprofits on Colorado Gives Day. And last year alone, we had 83,000 donors who contributed to 2,900 nonprofits, more than $50 million in one day.
Wow, that's quite significant. And all of that money through this spending gets distributed to programs and agencies and recipients that are active here in the Pikes Peak region, we know. So we know the pandemic has impacted so many things. And I know from last holiday season, giving was impacted as well in 2020. What are you expecting in 2021? And can you kind of, I guess, give us an idea of how giving went for the pandemic year?
Yep. So I'm hearing several. I'm sorry. So in 2020, I think the COVID pandemic showed us just how fragile our systems are, and that when those big systems break down, whether it's school districts not being able to stay open or transportation shutting down, we feel that impact at home. And we saw that nonprofits were really the first responders. They were making sure people had access to healthcare when they needed. They could get food if they were facing food insecurity. They could keep a roof over their head. So we want to continue to support those nonprofits. And in 2021, we were hoping that things would get a whole lot better, but we saw that COVID took a turn and we continue to see outbreaks, and nonprofits continue to respond and continue to make sure that individuals in our communities are not going without. They also continue to provide arts and entertainment and ways to keep us connected to one another, whether it's in person or virtually, depending on what the situation calls for. And moving forward, we know that these nonprofits are going to continue to play a vital role in rebuilding our communities. So hopefully we can come back stronger than when we went into this pandemic. And we're really optimistic that giving on Colorado Gives Day will help these nonprofits meet their budgetary needs so that they can continue to serve our communities.
Yeah, certainly it wasn't, I mean... the pandemic made so many suffer and created a lot of people's first needs that they may have ever had in needing some of the services provided by the nonprofits in our region. When you're talking about a well-employed, regularly employed, for instance, restaurant or tourism employee who suddenly finds himself without an income. I mean, these are people that probably had never thought that they would need to turn to some of the services offered by these nonprofits. So the need gets increased at the same time that donors are more hard-pressed. But it's important that people get this message. When we're talking about individuals supporting and participating in Colorado Gives Day, I know you make it easy for all of us who want to give. So why don't you tell us how to do so?
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. We do try to make it as easy as possible. I like to say that if you can shop online, you can give online. So the website is coloradogives.org. Once you go into the website, if you know the nonprofit or nonprofits that you want to support, you can just enter their name into the search field, and they should pop up when you do the search. If you want to explore some new nonprofits or you're not sure who you want to give to, there's lots of different ways that you can search. You can put in a keyword like food, or maybe you're interested in looking at the drop-down menu for the key topic. So maybe you care about advocacy and civil rights, or maybe you care about the environment. You can search by those keywords. Or if you're really committed to giving where you live, you can put in your zip code and you can make sure that you're giving to the nonprofits who are supporting your very local community. And once you decide where you want to give, you fill out the form. It's about three steps, how much you want to give. You click that you want to make it on Colorado Gives Day, which is a big green button. Then you can add it to your shopping cart. So you can put in multiple nonprofits giving at various levels, all into your shopping cart, and then you check out with one easy transaction.
Oh, I love that. It sounds not just easy, but also enough high tech that it actually avoids some of the problems that might be hurdles to people wanting to give. Like, I always want to give a check, and I never have my checks with me, or I've run out of checks. So this makes it super easy. I love this. All right. Well, Kelly Duncan, President and CEO of Community First Foundation, thank you for providing information on Colorado Gives Day. And again, that website we want to give to our listeners before we take a quick break, coloradogives.org. Kelly, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We'll be checking in next with some of the organizations that are part of Colorado Gives Day. So do keep on listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Today, we're talking about something going on tomorrow. Colorado Gives Day. Want to give people a little bit of prior notice so you are prepared to give. This is the Community First Foundation's effort to solidify and collect all of your giving options in one place. So it makes it easy for donors to choose the agencies and nonprofits that they want to receive their donation dollars during the holiday season. Colorado Gives Day, December 7th. So it's an important day. And as we were just talking to Kelly Duncan, president and CEO of the Community First Foundation, it really plays a big role in how these nonprofits are able to formulate their budgets for the year ahead. You know, how much they're able to get from donors. And there is that matching money that helps extend your donation. So it's not just your money that you're giving. It's also a little sweetener that adds to it. So right now we're going to talk to the director of development for one of those recipient nonprofits, Safe Passage. Emily Bowker is joining us right now. Emily, first of all, welcome to The Extra. Tell us a little bit about Safe Passage.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I'm happy to be here today. Yeah, so Safe Passage, we at Safe Passage give abused children a voice and enable their healing process, and we act as a single source of contact for all those helping professionals that are involved when there's a child abuse investigation. So we serve kids birth to age 18 as well as the developmentally delayed population. And what we do is we assist with the forensic interviews, the medical sane exams, if necessary, advocacy for the families, and support in the court process. We serve the 4th Judicial District, which is Teller and El Paso counties, but we also assist with other counties as well if needed. And a large majority of the cases that we work with are sexual abuse cases, so children that have been sexually abused. However, we also work with children that have experienced domestic violence, homicide, human trafficking, or severe physical abuse cases. So we've actually been in the community here for 27 years. On average, we see about 1,000 children every year, and we actually anticipate a growth of seeing 20% more cases this year. And part of that is due to the fact that we, in mid-October, we moved into a new location over on the west side of Colorado Springs, and we became a co-located children's advocacy center, which is super exciting, and it means that we're co-located with some of our key partner agencies that we work with every day in these cases. And so some of those that are housed with us are the Colorado Springs Police Department, their entire child crimes unit, UC Health. We have two full-time sane pediatric nurses, Kid Power, and the Family Center. So we're really able to wrap services around those kids and families in one location. And so we're really excited that our community in Colorado Springs was ready for this co-located children's advocacy center. There's over 800 children's advocacy centers in the United States, and only 20% they're co-located. So we feel really honored that our community was ready for that.
Well, and when you talk about co-location in these partnerships and working really hand in hand with whether it's the same nurses or others who are involved in the process of identifying these cases, tracking these cases, making sure the victims have the resources they need, and also pursuing the legal options against those who perpetrated crimes against children. Why is this collaborative approach so important, especially from the child's point of view?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. It's a really good question. You know, so prior to children's advocacy centers being in communities, what would happen is that kids would have to retell their story of abuse multiple times to all those different helping people. So they'd have to tell the Department of Human Services, they'd have to tell the police department, they'd have to tell someone in our capacity and the medical professionals. And this would just cause further trauma for kids because they'd have to relive the abuse story over and over, which we know the research says that it can be really traumatizing. In addition to that, it would also cause the prosecution of these cases to really fall apart in the court process because they told the story maybe a little bit differently to one of those helping people. And so it just doesn't hold up in the court process, which, you know, then we can't prosecute these cases and act on that criminal level. So really a coordinated response reduces the trauma for kids, and it increases the prosecution. And it really is a truly, it's the best model of care for these most vulnerable children. They really deserve a holistic and coordinated response. You know, they've come forward with their brave story of abuse. And the least we can do as an agency and community members is really to coordinate those responses as much as possible to reduce the trauma.
And I'm guessing that participating in Colorado Gives Day provides you more resources or the significant number of resources that you need to continue with this important work.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, every family that comes to us, we never turn away, and all the services are provided free of charge. And so these types of days are so important to us. We really appreciate the opportunity to engage the community, to support, you know, the resources that we give to families to ensure hope and healing for these kids. So we're really grateful to partner with such a powerful movement in Colorado.
Has the pandemic been difficult on Safe Passage, its work, and also how it's able to fundraise?
Yeah, you know, it has. So, you know, we're an essential service, and we were considered at that all throughout the pandemic. And so we've, you know, continued to see cases all throughout. We've, you know, seen some steady support from the grants and foundations that we get money from because we were an essential service. However, we also were informed that some of our larger funders, you know, they had a decrease in their funding pot. And so that's going to affect our bottom line. And so we're really having to make up for that and find ways, like a lot of other nonprofits, to make up for that loss in funds. The one thing that was beneficial this year versus, you know, last year with COVID is that we were able to hold some of our in-person events. Like, we were a part of a couple golf tournaments and our clay shooting event each year that we hold, which were outdoor events, so we could still kind of do those. But what we really did notice a dip in, aside from some of the funders, was the individual giving goals. So acquiring and retaining new donors. You know, it seems that individuals, kind of like what you guys were talking about earlier in the show, are still a little bit nervous to take on new giving opportunities as the financial future still seems a little uncertain. So, we have noticed that. And I think what people need to know is that for the kids that we serve, when we were all safer at home from the, you know, COVID, our kids weren't, because they were being exposed to their abusers 24/7, and they were away from mandated reporters. They couldn't go to school. They couldn't be in, you know, after school programs and things like that. And so we're really expecting to see a huge surge in the cases that we see as a result of the pandemic. So we're really going to be in that recovery phase the pandemic. So it's pretty sad.
Well, I find your work so inspiring, what you're doing, so laudable. And my sister is a SANE nurse, so the background that she's been able to give me just tells me that what you're doing truly makes differences in lives. So again, if people have heard about Safe Passage, they want to direct their funding on Colorado Gives Day to Safe Passage, they just go onto the website. Why don't you explain what happens next, Emily?
Yeah. So like Kelly said, so there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can go to coloradogives.org and you can just type in Safe Passage. We do business as Safe Passage. Our, you know, name is Children's Advocacy Center of the Pikes Peak region. So that may come up also in conjunction with Safe Passage. But or you can go on to coloradogives.org and then just do /Safe Passage if you just want to type it in directly, and it'll bring you right to our page.
Emily Bowker, Director of Development for Safe Passage, thank you for joining us here on The Extra and describing why Colorado Gives Day is so important to your work.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me, Shannon.
Well, we have much more of The Extra still ahead. Up next, we're going to be talking to the folks from the Palmer Land Conservancy and NAMI Colorado Springs. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, and we are previewing what can be done, the changes that can be made in lives and nonprofits here in the region through Colorado Gives Day, which is tomorrow. So joining us right now, after we've heard from Emily Bowker with Safe Passage and Kelly Duncan, who's the president of the Community First Foundation, backer of Colorado Gives Day, we have Emma Troller, Conservation and Recreation Program Manager for the Palmer Land Conservancy. And first of all, welcome to the show, Emma.
Yeah, thank you, Shannon. Thanks for having me.
Let's kick off this segment by you sharing some information on who is the Palmer Land Conservancy and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Palmer Land Conservancy has been working in southern Colorado since 1977. So we're not a new organization. We've been around for quite a while. But over that time, we've partnered with private landowners, public partners, and communities in 19 different counties. And what we're really working to do is to protect what we all love about living here in Colorado. At Palmer, we call that the Colorado Good Life, which we consider the state's natural beauty, our locally grown food, and outdoor recreation.
Certainly.
So to date, we have protected more than 136,000 acres in southern Colorado, which includes private properties, working farms and ranches, and 20 parks and open spaces. And some of those open spaces, I think, are really well loved by the community, but people may not realize that Palmer was responsible for their protection. So some of those include the Red Rock Canyon Open Space, Ute Valley Park, Bear Creek Regional Park, and Section 16, which is personally one of my favorite hikes in the Colorado Springs area.
I've never done Section 16, so that's got me interested already. So we know that that our population is growing by leaps and bounds, and when you're talking about that, of course, builders and developers are going to look to providing the housing that that population needs. But in the meantime, there is this, importance of land conservancy, because that is part of what makes moving to Colorado, living in Colorado, so special.
Right. So I think that the pandemic of 2020 really made it clear to so many of us how much we rely on the outdoors for physical and mental health. And at Palmer, we were really excited to see that the World Health Organization, in a report that they released on COVID-19 recovery, actually stressed the importance of the protection of nature, saying it is the source of human health. And that's really what our mission is and what we see as so critical for conservation now and in the future, and that's protecting both human health and the health of nature. So in addition to those public parks and open spaces I mentioned, we do a significant amount of work with private landowners throughout southern Colorado. And some of that work is for the protection of scenic vistas and wildlife habitat, just managing those connections between development and open space that you mentioned. But some of those properties are also generational farms and ranches. We think of land conservation really holistically, and we think that those working lands and local food and water is as important to land conservation as outdoor recreation.
It's very much a multi-level approach you need to take, it sounds like. And how is that work? How is the nonprofit's work enhanced by participating in something like Colorado Gives Day?
Well, Colorado Gives Day is the biggest giving day of the year here in Colorado. And we're fortunate at Palmer that we have a great existing base of supporters, but Colorado Gives Day is a fantastic opportunity to share a platform with many of our peers who are doing this fantastic work throughout the state. As I mentioned, especially here in Colorado Springs, I think there are a lot of people who know and love the public open spaces we've helped protect, but maybe aren't aware of our role in that. So I think participating in Colorado Gives Day is an opportunity to directly contribute to protecting the land in southern Colorado, both those working ranches and farms and the public open spaces that we've all become very familiar with over the past 2 years.
It raises the profile of the work that you're doing, definitely. So when it comes to Colorado Gives Day, there is, like was stated earlier, millions of dollars that is then collected and distributed through giving donations, philanthropic donations. But how much is Palmer Land Conservancy hoping to raise on Colorado Gives Day, and what will you do with it?
Well, we have a very ambitious goal for total fundraising of $160,000 by the end of the year. For Colorado Gives Day specifically, we're looking to raise about $15,000 of that. And the proceeds from that go directly to the maintaining the 136,000 acres of public and private land that we've already protected, but also to some of the upcoming projects that we're working on. In outdoor recreation, that includes helping complete the long-standing Ring the Peak and Front Range Trail projects. And this year, we also opened our Pueblo office for the first time, which is specifically focused on farms, including protecting water resources for local working lands.
Right, right, because often you will hear the talk around the Pueblo area on generational farm distribution. I mean, when you're talking about farms being passed down from generation to generation, certainly the water rights that might have been associated with the farm may no longer be there. So that's something that's very important. When we talk about Colorado Gives Day, we heard a little bit from the folks from Safe Passage and also from Kelly a little earlier on how people can direct their funding to go to where they want. If someone is an environmentally minded person or just loves living in Colorado for the vistas and majestic open spaces, how can they support Palmer Land Conservancy on this important day?
I think the simplest and easiest way is just to search for our organization, Palmer Land Conservancy, on ColoradoGives.com. But, of course, if anyone would like to support us at any other time, they can visit our website at palmerland.org to donate. We also were recently really fortunate to have Joe Schobert, who's a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers, actually nominate Palmer for the NFL My Cleats, My Cause program, which we were just so grateful and, frankly, stunned by. So
yeah.
Joe played on December 5th wearing Palmer's cleats and won, and it was just so exciting to see our name on that platform.
Wow,
but
wow.
The NFL is currently auctioning each player's cleats online, and Joe has been really generous to offer to match any donations with that up to $10,000. So if there are football fans who are interested in supporting land conservation, you can also find us on the NFL's My Cause, My Cleats auction site.
Great. Is Joe, is he a Colorado native? Is that how he came to support Palmer Land Conservancy?
He came to know about our program from our coworker, Ed Robertson, hosts the very popular podcast that Joe listens to. And he reached out to Ed that he was really excited about our work in land conservation and wanted to support the importance of protecting land both for current and future generations. So we were just thrilled to have that partnership.
Wow, wow. What a great partnership. And as you said, people can support through that or through the Colorado Gives Day. So Emma Troller with the Palmer Land Conservancy, want to thank you for sharing with us about your nonprofit and the work that we can all support through ColoradoGives.org. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Shannon.
And we have more of The Extra after this. Need to take a short break. We'll be back in a moment. And we're back with The Extra. We have had a jam-packed show today with guests galore talking about Colorado Gives Day, which is tomorrow. So if you haven't started thinking about it already, hopefully we've given you some food for thought in talking about the many organizations that could benefit through Colorado Gives Day through your generosity. We heard earlier from the folks from Safe Passage and Palmer Land Conservancy, and now we're speaking on the phone with Lori Jarvis Steinward, Executive Director of NAMI Colorado Springs. And first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us, Lori. Why don't you tell us about NAMI Colorado Springs? Because this is all based around providing mental and behavioral health services. Is correct?
That's right. Thanks, Shannon. Thanks so much for having us this morning. And I think, you know, one of the things that's come up as a theme is, not surprisingly, is how we've all been impacted by the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we know that more and more folks are struggling with mental health challenges. So NAMI has been around since 1983, almost 40 years now, serving individuals and families living with mental illness. And sort of the secret of our approach, it's no secret anymore, it's well known that peer support is really valuable in the mental health and behavioral health world. So we are not clinicians at NAMI. We are people who live with mental illness ourselves or have family members that do. So we walk the journey with people from the onset of a diagnosis to treatment to stability. And so that's what we do at NAMI. We do that through support groups, through education programs. We also have what we call a warm line where we do resource and referrals. It can be a little bit challenging, more than a little bit sometimes, to get that initial diagnosis and realize you really are struggling with a verified, legitimate, diagnosed mental health condition, and where do you start? So we take people through that process. They can call our office, and we can help them with that as well. We know that more folks are struggling than have in the past. Colorado Health Institute recently did a survey, and we know that fully 25% of people in El Paso County are saying that they've had 8 or more challenging mental health days in the previous month. So that's, it's people are living at least 25%, 30% of the time, and they're struggling. And when you look at 19 to 29-year-olds, 53% of them, almost 54% of them, are citing poor mental health as an issue coming out of the pandemic. So we have our work cut out for us. We have transitioned to virtual support groups, so virtually anyone can access us several evenings a week for our support groups. And we're really encouraging people to take advantage of these no-cost services. If someone didn't struggle before, as we've come to say, if they didn't have challenges before, they probably will in this, as this pandemic continues. And so much of what we've, so much of our lives have changed. There's a sense of loss, a sense of grieving. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us have been isolated. Some of us have not had contact with our older adult relatives for long periods of time. So kids have been out of school. So there's a lot. There's a lot of work here. And we're telling people it's okay to not be okay given the circumstances.
Right, because the pandemic has, I think, been so unique in that, it's different from, I think, of other tragedies. For instance, 9/11, when, those who were, closest to it felt it in very extreme ways. Here you have all sorts of different levels of suffering and difficulties and challenges, whether it's someone, like you said, who's actually been touched by a death or a serious illness from COVID-19 to, I'm thinking of the high school seniors who lost out on so much as they were going through their graduating year and moving into college and just had that whole experience that they had been expecting for many years upended. And I mean, you don't want to trivialize. I mean, sure, that's not the same as losing a life or having a serious illness, but it is still loss. And there's just been, it's run the gamut of what kind of losses people have experienced and what kind of burden that's put on their mental stability, mental health. So when you talk about a year-end giving push like Colorado Gives Day, there has to be a reason why an organization like NAMI Colorado Springs is turning to it and hoping to really get something out of it and hopefully not just raising the profile of the organization, but also getting some funds to do some really good work.
Absolutely, Shannon. And we 40 to 60% of our funding still comes from individual donors. So we're still very much an organization that depends on the generosity of individuals in our community. We serve El Paso and Teller County, and we have a history of just incredible support from individuals. So it makes our end of year giving push very, very important for us going into the next year, the calendar year, knowing what we've got to work with. So We're hoping, this is only our second year of participating in Colorado Gives Day, and so we're modest in our goals, but we would love to raise around $5,000. We have an overall goal of $50,000 for end-of-year giving, so that's about 10% of our end-of-year goal. And one of the reasons that we signed up for Colorado Gives Day is we had a lot of people who love this campaign, who asked us about it, who missed us when we weren't in the lineup. So we are now, and we're grateful for the opportunity to be a part of the campaign. It's just a wonderful statewide statement about the, you know, how altruistic this state really is.
Well, and that certainly is the case, and we'll hope that it's proven tomorrow on Colorado Gives Day. And I wish we had more time to talk, Lori, but if people want to find out more, they can go to NAMIColoradoSprings.org, N-A-M-I, ColoradoSprings.org, correct?
That's right. That's
all
right.
Right.
And we're also on the Colorado Gives Day site under National Alliance on Mental Illness, Colorado Springs.
Lori Jarvis-Steinwert, Executive Director of NAMI, thank you for joining us today on The Extra.
Thanks so much, Shannon.
And to our prior guests, Emma Troller, Emily Bowker, and Kelly Duncan, thank you as well. Again, if you are in the giving spirit, and who isn't this time of year because it kind of just is infectious, think about donating through ColoradoGives.org, Colorado Gives Day tomorrow. And hopefully one of these organizations really inspired you to make a difference in our community. You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.